So this is Leon Goldberg. Right now we're on the Nachum Segal Network, and I want to thank Nachum for having us on the on his network to talk about politics. Politics mostly centered about New York City, because New York City is the heart of the entire Jewish Orthodox community and the larger Jewish community. This is where we start. It's critical. We have an election coming up. June 22nd is the only date that you need to know if you live in New York City. June 22nd is the primary. And whoever wins the primary for mayor, for city controller, for public advocate, and for almost all the city council races, which are up now, that will be it. You do not have to bother to go to vote in November. You can go vote in November, and you can vote as a Republican if you want in November. But if you do not vote now, it will not matter. Because the bottom line is there are 51 council seats, and there are two Republicans. And Eric Ulrich, who represents Far Rockaway, the Jewish community of Far Rockaway, is term limited. He will be out. And highly unlikely that that seat will be maintained by the Republicans, but maybe it will. But basically, that's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with two seats. So now I'm going to be interviewing Eric Adams, who is somebody I've known for some 20-odd years, who's running for mayor of the city of New York. Please listen in. So now I have with me Eric Adams, who's running for the city, for mayor of the city of New York. Eric, who I have seen basically almost every other day, whether on a phone call, whether on Zoom, or whether in person. Eric, are you endorsing me for mayor that you're chasing me this much?
I always endorse you. You're a good man and a good leader.
Okay, so Eric, I'm going to give you an opportunity for 2-3 minutes. Let's hear from you, your background, how you grew up, Brooklyn born, your mother, one of six children. I think people need to hear this. I think people need to hear your story.
Thank you so much, Leon, for this opportunity. Yes, I was born in Brownsville, Brooklyn, and really my journey is the journey that everyday New Yorkers are experiencing. And that is why I can identify with being the mayor should be a person who has lived the life that people are living right now. And we have betrayed New Yorkers. When we moved from Brownsville, we moved to South Jamaica, Queens, where my mother purchased a small, modest house, and she raised my six siblings and me, and we struggled. You know, we knew what it was to live on the verge of homelessness, to carry a garbage bag full of schools, clothing to school every day because we thought we were going to be thrown out.
Do people understand what he just said? Do you understand? The family was so concerned about being evicted and that the marshal may show up at their door that they took with them to school a garbage bag full of the clothes that they would need for the next few days in case they got evicted. I think it's
And that was real. And that's why when I talk about homelessness, it's not a professional conversation, it's a personal conversation. And when I talk about children with special needs, you know, Leon, I went through my entire public school education not knowing I had a learning disability until I stumbled onto a documentary in college. And then I said, wait a minute, it's not that I'm dumb. I have to deal with this learning disability. And I got on the dean's list after that. How many parents in your community and that you represent that are struggling just to get the resources and support from our city
constant,
when their children are dealing with learning disabilities?
Constant battle, because we have large families. There's always going to be some child that needs the resources. And there's no question, when we grew up, they didn't know about ADD, ADHD. They didn't know about all these initials. And they just said, he's stupid. He does. That's it. Forget about it. He can't learn. That's what they said. A different world today.
And exactly.
But it is a struggle.
And so And so I was lucky to find out something. Children should not be lucky to get the resources they need. Families should not be lucky to get housing. You shouldn't be lucky to get proper health care. Government can't be about luck. It has to be about being there. And that's why I'm running for mayor. As I stated, the life that I live is the life that people are living every day in this city. And I don't want them to be to fall through the cracks. And the next mayor must understand that.
So let's talk about what I think are two of the most critical issues. The safety to be able to go on a train, the safety to be able to walk on a street, not to be shot in Times Square, not to be shot in Park Slope, to feel safe and feel secure, and the economy. So let's talk about safety first. Are you for defunding the police?
No, I am not. And what I've shared over and over again, my ask of all agencies, use the taxpayers' dollars to properly function and be efficient. And that includes the police department. And here's what I am saying. We spend $500 million a year on police officers who are doing clerical duties and not on patrol, dealing with the crime, dealing with hate crimes and other areas. I say I want my officers on patrol, and the money we save, we can use to be proactive, putting cameras in schools, having security cameras along corridors like 14th Avenue to make sure we're proactive. And we spend almost $400 million a year on overtime. Police officers sitting in court all day waiting to testify. There's no reason for that. We could have those officers use Zoom, WebEx, testify and go back, get off overtime. So let's better use taxpayers' dollars. And that includes police department, but we should never do anything that's going to impact on public safety. We must be safe in the city. The prerequisite to prosperity is public safety.
Let's talk about, you mentioned unions, and unions are very, very powerful in New York. You know, all the different unions, there are 330,000 employees, which we'll talk about also, in New York City, which is way, way, way too high. Mayor de Blasio added 30-odd thousand employees. That's a 10% increase. But let's talk about the unions. There is, in my opinion, a tremendous abuse of the pensions, and that is coming from overtime. And the people that are getting the overtime are the people that are getting ready to retire. And the abuse of I saw this week in the state, and I don't know if the city may work the same way, but somebody can have a job at a state agency and take today off as a day that he's going to use as vacation day, because he knows tonight they had called for extra people to work overtime. So he can actually stay home during the day, come in at 5 o'clock, work a regular shift, and get double time for that. And that then, of course, goes into the pensions. And the pensions are just growing and growing and growing. What can be done? What can you try to do?
Our city is, I say this over and over, Leon, our city is dysfunctional, and the systems are dysfunctional. And just the example that you just laid out is a dysfunctional way to use taxpayers' dollars. And I've been endorsed by some of the major unions in this city, and they know that I believe in civil service. I believe civil service do an amazing job, and they are your neighbors. They are the people who run the city and go through a very difficult time, even when the city closes down. But we must run a city that's more efficient. And remember, cities are made up of agencies. And if those agencies are not functioning, if they're dysfunctional, they're going to produce the inequality and, in many cases, the injustices. And so I'm going to run an efficient city and show how we modernize this city so that we don't have to waste money on overtime. We don't have to waste money on creating the crises that are extremely costly in the city.
So my guest again is Eric Adams, who's running for mayor of the city of New York, formerly for 20 years as a police officer, ending up as a captain in the police and NYPD, then in the state senate, and then into my borough's president, and therefore my president, Eric Adams. A lot of businesses are picking up and leaving. They're really fed up. They're fed up with crime. They're fed up with their employees coming in and being afraid to come in. So that definitely impacts it. And they're also fed up with being taxed to death. And the small businesses are being fed up with trying to open. I had one tenant in a building that spent some 3 months in getting everything in order, getting his permits, getting the store, and then he couldn't open because he simply ran out of money. Let's talk about on the small businesses, permitting. What are you going to do to alleviate that problem?
Well, let's be clear here. When we talk about small businesses, when we talk about the small property landlords, when we talk about the assistance that's needed, number one, we need to make sure that any rental or lease forgiveness program, we must balance that out with using the stimulus dollars to take care of those landlords that are going to be impacted by it. But we should go even further. We should look at those rental spaces. I'm a big believer in universal child care. Those landlords that are willing to give real cost savings by building out their retail spaces for child care, we should give them a rent forgiveness on their taxes so that we can pass those costs over to families. We should also make it more user-friendly in this city to do business. We're too bureaucratic, too expensive, too difficult. So I say freeze the startup fee, the renewal fee. Let's change the fees that we use to find small businesses. This was devastating what we did to small businesses in Borough Park and Flatbush when we had COVID-19. This was unfair. We would never do that under Eric Adams' administration, giving fines to businesses as they try to keep the lights on. And so it's about becoming a city that is user-friendly to people who are renters and landlords, as well as small business and those who lease to these small businesses.
I'll give you one other idea. Basements and buildings. That can be used for whether it's other apartments or daycare. There are huge basements in a lot of buildings, and if you allow the Department of Buildings to allow the landlords to fix it up, you can do a lot of work, a lot more in there than you can in the storefronts. Bigger businesses, are they being driven out of the city with the attitude of Amazon, the attitude of Industry City? Did you support Industry City coming into New York?
I was a support of Amazon. I think the mistake Amazon made is that they should have come to Brooklyn. We had spots in the Brooklyn Navy Yard and others who were ready to open with Amazon. Now, we must have good community benefit agreements where we're paying people a good wage, living wage. We're making sure they have health care. We don't want to exploit workers. We want to make sure that as the city grows, that the middle class continues to grow. And so we want Amazon and other businesses here, but we also want them to respect the other everyday workers.
There's no question that the Amazon workers were going to make on an average $150,000. So I don't think that those were the issues of living wages. But the idea that AOC and others can come out and say, we don't want jobs, we don't need jobs in New York. And in Industry City case in particular, we were already in the middle of COVID. we lost 1 million jobs. And here's somebody promising 15,000 jobs. Maybe he wouldn't have delivered 15. Maybe he would have delivered 10,000. But he was bringing jobs to his borough, to a city that is desperate, desperate for jobs. And yet you have people on the far left. Nope. And they killed it. They killed it.
Well said. And if the goal is to encourage growth and development in this city, that's the goal. And how do we do it in a successful way where we lift up all New Yorkers together? And we must ensure that we eradicate the inequalities of New Yorkers in this city. Listen, I sat into my sphere where the food pantry lines and people waiting to get meals with dignity. I look at the various food distribution sites. People don't realize that inequalities exist in all of our communities, and the next mayor must be focused on lifting up workers and dismantling the systems that create inequalities.
So you are what I would call a centrist Democrat, okay, which I very much support. The question is, you have a city council that really has moved to the left and that will be moving more to the left. The DSA is becoming much more active on a lot of different races. How do you work with them? How will you be able to work with them?
Well, I believe that if you look at no matter what one defines him or herself as, we all want the same thing. And I really don't fall under the titles that people attempt to attach me to. I'm a New Yorker, and I want a city where we all can prosper. And the goal is to look at, we focus so often on the things we differ instead of focusing on the things we agree on. We agree that our cities must be safe. We agree that we must educate our children. We agree that our housing must be affordable and that we should be able to be gainfully employed. That is what I'm going to focus on. All of the other things that people want to throw in the conversation, I think that's a luxury. The real necessity is ensuring that we can look at the foundation of our city. And you don't have to be a centrist, a far left, or whatever title one wants to give you to understand that we have to live in a safe, clean, healthy city that we can all prosper in.
Very well said. Very well said. We're all New Yorkers. You mentioned something in one of our previous meetings, which I would like you to highlight a little bit, and that was talking about small businesses trying to open up, and they go for one permit and one permit only. How would you put that together? What is your flesh out your idea?
We're going to create something called a My City card. This is a card where a business and a citizen, because it's more than just businesses, but even citizens, but the business aspect of it, that My City card would have all of the information based on that business and the person who's trying to open. They will have a single platform, go to one agency, and all the documents, all the approvals, everything they need will be centralized, and they will go back to that one agency to get the approvals to open and start their business. But we will also use it for the citizens. Do you know, Leon, we send back billions of dollars every year to the federal government because the system is too complicated for people to sign up on these benefits. By SNAP, food stamps, a DREAM, for people who are disabled, they can get rent freezes, SCREAM. Seniors can get rent freezes. But no one is aware of these benefits, and no one is assisting people to navigate them for the most part. Eric Adams is mayor. We're not going to have people come and sign up. We have your data. We have your information. We're going to sign up automatically. All you have to do is get your check.
Sounds good to me. I don't know how good it'll sound to the social service agencies out there helping people with these programs. I guess there still will be a need for them, but it definitely is very, very complex, a lot of these things. Okay, let's talk about Jewish issues. The community is upset about a few issues. We're talking about the Orthodox Jewish community. And before we do that, let's talk just about Israel in general, BDS movement, and then we'll talk about Orthodox issues. You've been to Israel several times, am I correct?
Yes, I have, two times. Love Israel, love the environment, the culture.
Okay. How important do you think BDS is? Is that something that you would support, or is that something that you really stand
against? BDS calls for the boycott of Israel. I've traveled to Israel before. I would be traveling back again. I'm a strong believer, and everything about America is the right to protest. I've marched with my friends from the Jewish community when they protest things that they don't like. And so I would never be in a place of telling people not to protest, but protest can't be anti-Semitic, and protest can't be violent. But I am a strong supporter of Israel, and I believe they have been an ally in this country, and they will continue to be.
What people don't realize is it's not just a ally in terms of weapons going back and forth and intelligence going back and forth. They are the 22nd largest country in the world, you know, doing trade with America. And New York, I heard a statistic, I don't remember the exact number, but the Israel business with New York is just off the charts, like in the top 10 of all the businesses in New York. So there is a lot more than just our floating aircraft carrier where we can keep weapons there, and our intelligence that they give us, but actually economically, they're the 22nd largest country, not country, 22nd. We're a very small country of 9 million people, but the 22nd largest trading partner with the U.S. Issues with the Orthodox community. Yeshiva education, which is a major issue, because we don't want, and it's not just us, the Catholics don't want the DOE coming into the schools, and the private schools also. Nobody's interested in the DOE coming in and telling us how to operate our schools. Is that something that you could defend? Where do you stand on yeshiva education?
You know, let's be clear. When people talk about, we need to break this down in sections. First, when people talk about yeshiva education, they're ignoring the fact that the overwhelming number of yeshivas are doing an amazing job, and they attempt to ignore that. Second, those who need additional support, I'm going to be here for them. Third, I'm not interfering with the education and yeshivas. They know what they're doing. They're producing a quality student in so many areas. And lastly, the real question in the city, all over the city, is culturally sensitive education. The African-American community, the Haitian community, the Chinese community, all of these communities are stating they want to start seeing themselves in the education of their children. And when I went to visit yeshivas and I saw books and literature made from scholarly experts and academic professionals, that is the type of educational system we want. And I know many of my friends and my associates who have had a yeshiva education, and they are doing extremely successful in business, extremely successful in their community. And then we got to lead by example. 65% of black children don't meet proficiency every year in the Department of Education. How can we be talking about yeshivas when we're failing children every day in the DOE?
Oh, you're definitely doing that. If I remember my numbers correctly, in 2018 or 19, 96 schools, not one single black or brown child passed the math or English in 96 public schools. So there's no question about it. Anti-Semitism, another major issue. Anti-Semitism, everybody says it's the white supremacist. In the New York area, including Jersey City, including Muncie, and including all the incidents that are going on in New York, and anti-Semitism is up 73%. It's coming from the left. there may be some cases coming from white supremacists, very few, because the reality is, I don't think there are too many white supremacists that live in New York City. So
true.
Right. We need to get the message out.
So, my brother,
there.
I have to hop off. I have another Zoom. You know, I'm Zooming my life away, but I would love to be on any time that you reach out. And I really appreciate your show. You cover a lot of ground. And let's continue to talk throughout this entire season.
Thank you very much for appearing on the show. Again, my guest has been Eric Adams, who's running for the mayor of the city of New York.
Thank you. Take care.